Okay. Let's bow our heads as we prepare for the teaching of God's Word. If you're a born-again believer out of fellowship, we simply need to use 1 John 1:9. And the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And at that immediate point of acknowledgement of sin, the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit is recovered. And then the Spirit can continue its teaching ministry. And that's very important in order to take in the Word of God, that we're in fellowship so the Spirit of God can do that. And then if you're already in fellowship, just pray for concentration on the teaching of God's Word. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity that we have to assemble ourselves together to hear your word. We pray, Father, that you might help us to comprehend the truth of the scripture. I pray that, Lord, we might be individuals who are truly grateful for all the things you have done for us and for who you are, Father. And Father, help us to do all things without complaining and murmuring. And we pray that we might continue to give thanks to you, Father. And we thank you, Lord, certainly for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross as our sacrifice, our substitute. We thank you for that free gift of eternal life. We thank you for the spiritual life. We thank you for fellow believers, like-minded believers, that can encourage us in the body of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your holy word. And so speak to us now through the scriptures. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Ephesians 5:20. And this passage says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we studied this section here, we dealt with the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit. Mentioned in verse 18, be controlled or filled with the Spirit of God. And the result of being filled is worshiping God in music and praise in verse 19. The next result here is to give thanks. And a Spirit-filled believer will be grateful for all that God has done for him. And so we should have an attitude of thanksgiving for what the Lord has done and who He is. The word giving thanks is the word eucharisko. And we get the word Eucharist from this Greek word. We partake of communion. Communion is one aspect of thanksgiving. When we partake of communion, we thank God for His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. And He was our substitute, our sin bearer. The word basically means to express appreciation for benefits or blessings. Gratitude or gratefulness would be a synonym of thanksgiving. And so we need to thank God for His benefits. Thank God for His blessings. Like the one hymn writer said, count your blessings, name them one by one. And then we were taught, count them, name them two by two and three by three. And there's so many of them that we need to be grateful for. A parallel passage in Colossians, let's take a look at Colossians chapter 3, expresses the same thing, but adds the fact that peace is associated with thanksgiving. Think about the result of the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit. The result of the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit is spiritual fruit will be produced. And exactly what is that in the book of Galatians? Well, we know love and joy, right? Joy would be expressed in music, right? That would be part of worshiping God out of a heart of joy. And then peace, God's tranquility, and then long-suffering toward other believers. And we have kind of a summary here in this section in Colossians chapter 3 of several of the fruits of the Spirit that are mentioned in the book of Galatians. And this really is a parallel passage to this section in Colossians. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body. And be what? Thankful. So as a result of peace, we can be thankful. As a result of God's tranquility, we can be grateful. And then that will result here with the Word of Christ dwelling in us richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Again, it sounds like the prior verse in Ephesians. Very similar language. Sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through Him. And so peace is associated with thanksgiving. An attitude of gratitude contributes to an enjoyment of spiritual tranquility, whereas grumbling makes for inner agitation. That's a heart that's not full of peace. Someone who's complaining, someone who's grumbling all the time. They really don't experience the peace of God, and therefore they're not grateful, and therefore they complain. All those go hand in hand. Now you may ask, what are some of the things we can be thankful for? And I'm sure we can make all our list this morning, and we should have a long list of all the things that God has done for us and is doing and will do for us. And we begin certainly with the cross of Christ. That is the root and core of Christianity. That's the reason why we have eternal life, because of Christ's provision. And we have the idea in 1 Corinthians 11:24 that we are to give thanks. 1 Corinthians 11:24, we read this in the time of communion. When he had given thanks, the Lord Jesus gave thanks for the bread. And so the illustration there is we are to give thanks. But we are to give thanks for the body of Christ given and sacrificed for us. Take heed, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And so like Christ giving thanks for a sacrifice, we are to give thanks for the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we are to be thankful for the Savior, Christ Himself. In 2 Corinthians 9:15, the second book of Corinthians tells us to be grateful for the person of Christ. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. What is that? The gift of His Son, Jesus. That is the indescribable gift. And so we're thankful for the Savior. We're thankful for what He provided for us on the cross. Eternal life, a home in heaven, all the 40 things given to us at the moment of faith alone in Christ alone, our spiritual wealth of assets that we have in Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. You remember the Old Testament priests offered various animal sacrifices, but and some of them were thanksgiving. And we can verbalize, we don't have to offer an animal, Christ has already been offered. We can verbalize the sacrifice of worship with our lips. And therefore it says we as believer priests, because we can do this, we're all believer priests, we have certain sacrifices we can offer to God. We can offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Thanks for His person and character. Now, here he says to give thanks back in our passage in Ephesians. We are to give thanks sometimes, once in a while. Well, that's not what the word says. Once in a while, maybe at Christmas we're grateful, or a birthday, or Thanksgiving. No, giving thanks always, always. Pantote, this is an adverb of time, coming from pos all. Therefore, we can translate it at all times, ever. We are to ever give thanks at all times. And so there's no occasion where we can say, I can't be thankful. Now, we may not be thankful for certain things that happen, but we can be grateful for God working His plan through that. And that's a difference. We are grateful. We know that even in difficult circumstances, God is working together. He's refining, testing our faith. He's working out His plan in our life. And so for that, we can be grateful to God. And so I put here not just a thanksgiving. usually have a Thanksgiving message. We're having it in this message in the middle of summer because this passage tells us to give thanks always. And Psalm 34, verse 1, we'll look at that, and then the book of Philippians. Psalm chapter 30 has a lot of songs dealing with thanksgiving. There are a lot of songs of praise to the Father. And this is one of them in Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. Notice that. Same language here, at all times, not just some of the time. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall sometimes be in my mouth. No, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And so, just like the psalmist, we are to give thanks always. And just Paul writes the same thing here in Ephesians 5. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. And I think just like peace goes along with thanksgiving, contentment is another quality that pairs up with thanksgiving. If you're not content, you will not be grateful. You always want more, a change in situation. I'm not happy with the way things are going. And so therefore, I don't have an attitude of contentment. I want my circumstances change. And I can't be thankful at all times when I'm doing that. Even when I'm going through difficulty. That includes difficult situations. Paul says whatever state he's in, whatever circumstantial state he's in, he is taught to be content. Notice verse 12, that includes prosperity, times of prosperity, and times of leanness. I know how to be abased or humbled. I know how to abound, have more than what I need. Everywhere and in all things, notice, in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry. And Paul had both time periods in his life. He had times when he was hungry, going several days without food, maybe not on purpose, but because of lack of food, because of the circumstantial situation he was in. Other times he had more than his need, more than enough. And he says, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And here we have that famous passage here. A lot of people quote, but sometimes they take it out of the context in which it was given. I can do all things through Christ who keeps on pouring the power in me. That's the idea of empowerment. Strengthening me. We call this divine enablement. Why did Paul say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me? In the context, what does that include? Contentment. This is how I can be content. The life of Christ is flowing through me. I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm walking by means of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, because of that, because of the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit, I can give thanks in all things. And so for the natural worldly person looking at difficult circumstances, they would ask you, how can you be grateful for this? The world cannot be grateful, but you can, because you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you, and the Spirit of God empowers you, and that's why you can do all things, including giving thanks in difficult circumstances. You remember Job after he lost all his provision, and he knelt down and worshiped God. And then the second wave of cursing, he refused to curse God, as his wife suggested. And he suggested that he mentioned that God's the one who gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the what? Name of the Lord. We like to say the Lord gives. We don't like to say the Lord takes away. We don't want to give thanks in that circumstances. But if we're controlled by the Spirit of God, we can see God's perspective. If we're walking in fellowship, God's in charge of your life. Therefore, you don't have to worry. There's no need to worry. God's in charge. He knows what He is doing. And all we need to do is seek His face and worship. Look at Philippians 4, verse 19. Notice this. My God shall supply all your need. Notice that, all. I don't care what you need. God supplies everything we need. And it's according to His riches and glory through the person of Christ, by Christ Jesus. And therefore, we need to express the attitude of thanksgiving to God. And not only at all times, but the Bible says for all things. Notice that. At all times, Paul has the adjective here, pos. You say, what does that all mean in the Greek? It means all. It means all. And so the idea here is that at all times and in all circumstances, we are to give thanks to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what the circumstances are in one's life, believers know that God is in control and that they can rest in Him. We can implement faith rest in the circumstances and be thankful even in the difficult times. Believers can be thankful because they know that He works all things together for good to those who do what? Love God. That's very important. Romans 8:28. And that means that you're walking in fellowship with God. And that's very important to make sure that we're walking in fellowship. When we are, He's working everything together for good, for His divine purpose and His divine plan. And I like the word all because Paul uses this word a lot. God is, first of all, the God of all grace. God's supply of grace is endless. And that's what we can be thankful for. He's given us saving grace, sanctifying grace, growing grace, grace through testing and trial. God will give us future grace at the appearance of Christ Jesus. Let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who called us to eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while. Notice that. After you have suffered a while. So is suffering included in the plan of God? Yes. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, all that desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You may say, I haven't suffered for years. Maybe you don't desire to live godly in Christ Jesus. So the heat's off of you. You're not opposing Satan. You're in Satan's world, and so everything's going hunky-dory. Everything's going fine. But when you seek to serve Christ, you have the enemy at your back. You're at your front. And you have, you know, all these things here. But, you know, God is able to give you all grace. After you've suffered for a while, notice the result, the perfection that God's working in your life. He will perfect. He will mature you. He will establish you in the faith. You'll be stabilized. You'll be strengthened and settled after you've suffered a while because God has given you grace. Grace through the difficult circumstance. He provides it all. God is not only called the God of all grace, He's called the God of all comforts. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. There's no situation where God cannot comfort us in. Think about that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of not some comfort, but all comfort. He comforts us in our trouble, tribulation, that we might be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort by which we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our comfort, consolation, abounds through Christ. God comforts us, therefore we can use that comfort and in turn minister to others who are going through difficult circumstances, because God provides endless comfort. You think, my situation's beyond hope, it's beyond despair, it's out of my hands. Don't you think God is not all-powerful? Yes, academically you know that. He's called the Almighty. Practically, is He? Yes, He is. Yes, He is. And the Bible says we can count it all joy when in trying various trials. And we know that because God's perfecting us. Count it all joy when you fall into multiple trials. It not just says one difficult circumstances. Sometimes your opponents come at you from different angles. You're pressed on every side, so to speak, as Paul said. It's coming from different sources, and it's overwhelming you. But here, if you continue to trust in the Lord, we can count it joy, not when He removes the trial, but in the trial, see. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Endurance. That's where the joy comes, knowing that God is producing Christian character through you. And that Christian character and virtue will be rewarded, verse 12, at the judgment seat of Christ. God will reward you for the character that's being produced through you through the trial. And therefore, as we understand God's plan, we don't despair. We can count it all joy. And so we can have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. The Bible says, all are yours. What an expression here. Paul says, all are yours. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 21 through 23. Therefore let no one boast in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas. Those are three who ministered to the Corinthian church through teaching ministry. It's for your benefit. All of them are for your benefit. They were very carnal, saying, I like Paul, I like Apollos, I like Cephas, you know. They were very divisive, but he said, all of us have spiritual gifts, and it's all for your benefit. It's all for your benefit. And he says here, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, sounds like Romans 8, doesn't it? All are yours. It's for your benefit. It's for your advantage. And you are Christ. You belong to Christ. And Christ is God. Notice that. All are yours. And then Ephesians 1:3 says, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. And he lists some of those spiritual assets that we have. Forgiveness of sins, the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit, and the eternal plan of God in Ephesians 1. We are incorporated into the body of Christ called the church, Ephesians chapter 2. We have a certain destiny, a home in heaven. We have an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away. We are reserved. That's reserved in heaven for you, as Peter puts it. Every single spiritual asset that God has given to us, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. God has given to us everything we need, all things that pertain to life and godliness. And I love this passage because there's nothing lacking in the Word of God to sanctify us. You know, we think we need to look to the world's solutions. The Word of God is not enough. And so we need to go to psychologists, and we need to go to, you know, different individuals to solve our problems instead of the Word of God. And God has given to us every single thing we need to live the Christian life. It's not lacking. There's nothing lacking. There's nothing lacking. And it's according to His divine power. According to His divine power, He has given to us all things that pertain to life and the spiritual life, godliness. through the knowledge of Him who called us to glory in Christian virtue. God has given to us in the Word of God, and now we can list some of the things He's given to us, the Scriptures. He's given us the body of Christ, the church, fellow believers to encourage us, to exhort us. He's given to us spiritual gifted individuals to minister to us, including the pastor teacher. He's given us the Holy Spirit, His promises. We can list a whole bunch of things under that category to live this Christian life. There's nothing lacking. For the church age believer, is nothing lacking for you to live a godly life. There are no excuses for you not to live godly in Christ Jesus. We need to appropriate His grace. How about this? We've been forgiven all our trespasses, not some. Colossians 2:13. This is judicial forgiveness. Every single one of our sins, past, present, future, have been imputed, placed, put upon the Lord Jesus Christ. As Isaiah 53 says, the Lord hath laid on Him, the future Messiah, the iniquity of us all. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But our sins were laid upon Christ, and when we believe in Him as Savior, every single sin has been erased. It's gone. It's forgotten. It's forgiven. It's in the depth of God's sea. Wonderful, wonderful grace. And the Bible says that we've been forgiven of every single thing. Do you know you stand righteous before God as a believer? Do you understand that? Is that just some academic thing that, yeah, I know? Or is it real life? I can't help it. I'm overwhelmed by God's grace. I've been saved for, over 40 years. To me, it's still amazing. It's amazing grace. None of us deserve this. But we're thankful for the Savior, aren't we? Praise be to Him. Notice this. One day God will wipe away every tear from our eye. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, I think about the pain and sorrow. When we see in the tribulation especially, and this is used in the context earlier in Revelation of tribulation saints who go through tremendous suffering under the regime of the Antichrist, tremendous pain and physical difficulty, and that sorrow and difficulty and trial, God will personally wipe away every tear from our eye. It will be removed. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor pain. For the former things have passed away. That will be history. The things of this life that caused us grief will be gone. As the hymn writer says, when we all get to heaven, what a day that will be. When we see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. God will make all things new. God will make all things new. And you know what? He says, then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I will make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. That you can depend upon it. History has been pre-written, by the way. We don't have to worry about history. History has been pre-written, and it's written here in the Bible, in the book of Revelation. This is our future, believer. This is our future. He will make everything new again. The former things have passed away. All things have become new. Then the overcomer will inherit all things. You're a faithful believer. There's additional things that God will give you in addition to eternal life in heaven. He'll give you great privileges throughout the eternal state. He who overcomes, the winner believer, shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. A special, unique relationship throughout all eternity for the faithful believers. And so, I like the way the word all is used in the scripture. In Romans chapter 11, verse 36, For of him, and through him, and to him, are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. He originated this universe. He created it. He made us. He sustains us. The future is in his hands. Of him and to him and through him are all things. And notice we are to give thanks always for all things. So we looked at some of the all things the Bible gives us. That was just a sampling. I didn't list all, really, of all things. I'd probably preach another 3 or 4 years on this, right? That's just a sample. And so he says, give thanks always for all things. And who's our thanks directed to? To whom? It's directed to God the Father. I love this verse in James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes where? Where does it come from? From above. It's where it comes from. It doesn't come, you say, it comes because of my intelligence. God help us. It comes because of my sweat of my brow. I earn my living by the sweat of my brow, my labor. Who has given you life? Who has given you intelligence? Who has given you ability? Who has given you strength? This point above. You don't have to make a touchdown to do this. Everything, all good gifts come from him. The God of all who is good. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. He is the Father of lights. And notice, he's a source of all good and perfect gifts. Now, in the context, look at this. One of the gifts he mentions here is one of the greatest gifts we have is eternal life, the new birth. In James chapter 1, verse 18, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth through the gospel. We are born again. He brought us forth. That refers to the new birth. We're born again. We are regenerated. And so that's one of those good gifts, the gift of eternal life. Eternal life is a gift, Ephesians 2:8. It's a free gift. All you do is accept it by faith. And so when you believe the gospel, he gives you everlasting life. And so God's the Father. He originated this plan. He sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, to be our sacrifice. He provides for us. We can think of all the various names of God. El Shaddai, God Almighty. And we can think of Jehovah. We can think of Elohim. We think of all the various compounds of the names of God that describe his wonderful character. He is the Father who has provided for us. And therefore, thanksgiving, since thanksgiving is an expression of prayer, it is addressed to God the Father. This is part, it should be part, of our prayer life. Thanksgiving is prayer, since it's directed to God. You ever think about that? Thanksgiving is a form of prayer. And there are 7 or 8 elements to prayer. We can intercede for others. We can make petition, individual prayer requests. There's different terms. We're not going to get into the doctrine of prayer this morning. Tom Constable has an excellent book on prayer that breaks down these various elements of prayer. We have given them in the past, but thanksgiving and praise is part of your prayer life. And many times we are always asking about our needs and we're requesting, and that's fine, that's petition. Sometimes we need to get away from self and start to pray about others. That's intercession. But ultimately, we need to give praise to God and thanksgiving for what He has done. And so thanksgiving should be an important part of our prayer life. And so we should express God what we're grateful for before we ask what we need. And notice this prayer of thanksgiving, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, and it's in the person of Christ. It's in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? It means to pray in faith, trusting in Him as the church's mediator with God the Father. He is on the throne of grace. You know, His throne is not a throne of judgment now, since justice has been satisfied. It's a throne of grace. It's a throne of mercy. And the Bible says we can come in prayer boldly. Just like we can approach the court of a king. And you couldn't just walk up to a king in past days without being invited. And you look at the book of Esther. The golden scepter is held out. Now you may come in. And so, therefore, though, the New Testament says, since Jesus entered into the Holy of Holies, the veil that separated the holy place from the most holy has been torn from top to bottom. It's a picture now of the mercy seat being open for all. And the mercy seat now is open for you, believer. We certainly need to come to God in faith. We need to come to God in fellowship. But we can come to Him with anything that's on our hearts, trusting in Him. He wants to dispense His favor. Do you believe that about God? He's eager. He's ready. And the Bible says, you have not because you ask not. I thought about that a lot, you know, thinking, why don't I have that? Maybe I haven't asked for it. Maybe I'm afraid to ask. Maybe I need to be bold to ask. I need to ask in faith. Now, that's not name it and claim it. That's a whole false theology. We've dealt with that. You know, name it and claim it. I want a new car. Claim it in Jesus' name. Maybe God, though, will provide adequate transportation, though, for you. God will provide. Maybe it's not exactly the model and make that you want, but it's provision. And so, be bold and ask. Go to God the Father. You know, the Bible says that if a son would go to a father and ask for a fish, would the father give him a stone in return? No, it shouldn't, unless he's a wicked father. The Bible says the same with our Heavenly Father. Can we not ask? Will he not provide? Don't you believe that the Lord is our shepherd? I shall not want. I shall not lack anything because He's my shepherd. You believe He makes you lie down in green, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He gives peace, doesn't He? He restores my soul. Maybe some of you need your soul restored this morning. Maybe your soul is in turmoil. I pray that sometimes. I pray, God, renew my strength. I don't have it. Renew my soul. I'm weary. I'm weak. I'm frail. I'm tired. Renew me. And He does. I encourage you to do this. Read that song. Not just at a funeral. That's nice that you read it when after someone dies. This present tense, the Lord is now my shepherd, by the way. That's funny. You always have Psalm 23 printed on a little twice. It's a comforting song, but it's not just when you die. Now, that song is for now. And so, even as you face death, the idea as you approach death, I think the valley of the shadow of death is not when you die, it's you're approaching death. He is with you. Through that death shadowed valley. That's why you don't need to fear no evil, because He is with you. He said He will never leave you. He will never abandon you. He will never forsake you. So we need to lift up our hearts in worship and praise to the Father. He is so good. To me, this is what makes Christianity unique. Biblical Christianity. There's religion out there. Biblical Christianity understands grace. There's nothing that can compare to it. You may pursue every other religion in the world, but if it's not the God of all grace, if it's not the God of all comfort, if it's not the God that can provide you joy and peace, if it's not the good shepherd that you have over all, then it's another religion. It's a false religion. And to me, this is real. No one can convince me otherwise. This is real. And so we need to trust in the Lord with all our heart. The Bible says we're not to lean to our own understanding. Why? Because our thoughts are not His thoughts. Our ways are not His ways. And so we need to trust in Him. So whatever situation you're going through, don't forget about this. Don't forget about who He is. Give Him thanks. Praise Him for who He is. Because He deserves it. He's worthy of our worship. Well, let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Father, we do thank You so much for who You are and what You have done. Father, we are frail. We are weak. We are limited. We are limited in our understanding. We are limited in our wisdom. We are limited at times in our ability, Father, but You give us strength. Oh, Father, the God of all grace and the God of all comfort, I pray that You might comfort believers. I pray that You might provide encouragement for them. I pray that You might help them to stop doubting. I pray, Father, they might not fear. I pray, Father, that You might lift them up by Your mercy. Oh, Father, we need You. We seek You, Father. Father, we desire to do Your will. Help us, Lord. Forgive us in our arrogance. Forgive us in our self-righteous pride, Father. Show us Your love as You have always done. And lift us up so that we might bless You, Father. And bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. If you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I encourage you to place your faith in Christ. God loves you so much. You don't even realize this. God loves you so much that He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, to die for you. And no matter how bad you are, you can be forgiven and given life. Jesus paid for all your sins. He rose bodily from the dead, and now He offers you a free gift. It's not because of your promises to turn from sin or promises to start attending church or reading your Bible or doing good things. That's not why He gives you eternal life. He gives you eternal life because the payment has already been made for your sins. And all you need to do is place your faith in Him and receive a free gift forever and ever and ever and be with Christ. I encourage you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved forever and have eternal life. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.